Good morning and welcome to worship at Prairie Street Mennonite Church this morning. It's good to be gathered here in the warmth of this space on this snowy morning. If you're a guest or visitor with us this morning, I think first of all you're to be commended for all the shoveling and scraping and snowy driving you did to get here this morning, but we're especially glad that you're here. We hope this can be a place of not only physical warmth, but also a place to experience the warmth of community and welcome and the radiant love of God. And that warmth was especially apparent here yesterday as we all gathered for the memorial service for our brother Brent Esch. And these flowers up front are from that service. And so I ask that you continue to remember the Esch family this morning and this week as we remember Brent. We're small in numbers this morning, but I invite you to maybe squeeze towards the middle and come up a few rows so we can be mighty in voice and spirit this morning. So let's continue with singing. So now I ask you to stand, and we'll sing hymn number one from Sing the Story, Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness, and Carolyn will lead us.
I'm going to let you have a minute to just find a new spot to and we can be a small group, a choir, and an orchestra we have this morning. Okay, number one in the purple, Sing the Story.
Hear now these words from Psalm 50. The Mighty One, God, the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to where it sets. From Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes and will not be silent. Perfect in beauty, God shines forth. I'm someone that finds a lot of spiritual significance in the natural world, and I think that there was a lot of beauty this week. I think it may be kind of hard to realize that when you're scraping off the car in cold temperatures trying to get someplace, but I think if you're able to take a moment and just watch the snow come down and really appreciate the natural world, I think maybe you're struck with how just beautiful and majestic and powerful it is. I think, as we've seen the last few days, it's something that's powerful and beautiful enough even to to bring together countries that are otherwise divided, you know, essentially to play in the play and compete in the snow and the ice. And sometimes it's beauty that interrupts our lives and changes our plans, but it's God's beauty nonetheless. So let's continue to worship the Lord in that beauty with singing. We'll sing number 124, O Worship the Lord, in the blue hymnal.
And in the new sing, Prairie Street Sings, excuse me, number 34. As we come into our time of confession, we will sing this song along with the words of confession.
Thank you.
God, we confess that sometimes our world doesn't feel very beautiful. Sometimes our lives don't feel very beautiful. Things get messy. And sometimes the mess is beyond our control, and sometimes we have a part in that mess. God, as we sing together, we confess to you the ways that we fell short of your perfect beauty this week. God, you know the things that are on our hearts. We don't always recognize your work being done or your presence among us. As we sing again, we take time to confess the times we didn't recognize your love and vision for our lives. Even in the midst of these confessions, God still shines through with mercy. Now, I invite you to stand and hear these words of assurance. Sisters and brothers, God has mercy on us and forgives our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us now live as a people set free from sin by the power of the Holy Spirit, and let us share Christ's peace with each other and the world. So let's use this time to greet one another as sisters and brothers in Christ with the words, "May the peace of Christ be with you," and responding, "and also with you." We now invite the children to come forward for a children's story.
Good morning. It's nice to see all of you here. I'm going to go ahead and pass the basket around for our offering. If you have some money to put in, do that. If not, just touch the basket and think about the ways that we're trying to help other people who need us. Thank you. Okay, today this Sunday is Transfiguration Sunday. Transfiguration is a big word. And I'm going to try to explain to you a little bit about what it was about. There's a picture up on the screen. Christians have shown pictures of Jesus in art for thousands of years, and they have different ways of showing Jesus and showing that Jesus is special. And I'd like to point out two things about this picture, okay? If you look at the picture, you see the men on the bottom. They're kind of all falling down, okay? Yeah, they're all kind of falling down, right? Look at the men on the top. What's that thing around their heads? Do you know what that's called? It's called a halo. A halo is something that artists use to to show that a person in a picture is someone very special, is someone who is a person of God. Now, the person in the middle of the picture is Jesus, and he's got a halo, but what else has he got going on there? Look at that. He is full of light, okay? Yeah, this is a very beautiful picture. I'm going to start and tell you a little bit about the day that this picture is supposed to celebrate. Jesus and his disciples were out walking, and Jesus often liked to go to places where he could be by himself to pray. And one place that's a pretty good place to go to be by yourself is on top of a mountain, okay? So Jesus and his disciples hiked up this little mountain, and when they got to the top, there wasn't anybody there. You know why there aren't a lot of people at the top of mountains?
No.
Well, if you've ever done any hiking, you'll know it's a lot of trouble to get all the way up there. Most people don't want to go through all that much trouble, so that's a good place to go be by yourself. Now, Jesus often did this, and Jesus often did something else that was really special. We call them miracles, okay? A miracle is a time when God's love and power break into the world. Can you think of any miracles that Jesus did? Jesus could change water into wine. He could heal sick people. He raised a person from the dead. He helped people who couldn't speak be able to speak. Jesus did many miracles. Most of the miracles that the Bible tells us about are when he helps other people, but this is a special kind of, today a different kind of miracle happened. Okay. When Jesus went off by himself and began to pray, something amazing happened. Orion, can you go to the next slide, please? Okay. It's really hard to see. If you look into that bright light, you can just kind of barely see three people standing there. You have to look real carefully because it's really bright. Okay, suddenly Jesus was full of light. And he wasn't by himself. There were two people with him. And the people who were with him were named Moses and Elijah. Okay? Elijah is a special person in the Bible. You know why? He's one of the few people that never died. God took him up to heaven while he was still alive. And Moses was the person who led the Israelites out of Egypt and saved God's people. So suddenly, Jesus looked different. Now, the disciples didn't know what to do. What do you do when something like that happens? I think what I would do is ask, what does this mean? What does this mean? Why did this happen? Do you have any ideas? I think what was happening is that God was telling the disciples something about who Jesus was, that he was a very special person, okay? It's hard to remember sometimes. We live in this world and we're so busy and we have so many things we have to do and so many things we have to take care of and we have to get food and we have to go to school and we have to do all these things. But this world, the world that we live in, this big world we live in, is just a tiny, tiny little part of what's real, okay? There's more. There's more that we can't see and we can't hear and we can't touch. It's another reality. And Jesus comes from that other bigger reality. And sometimes God lets that reality shine out of Jesus. Okay. And when he does, he's full of light. So can you go to the next slide, Orion? Here's another picture. I like this one a little bit better than the one I just showed you because where is the light coming from in this picture? It's coming from Jesus, okay? Jesus is full of light and his light is lighting up this whole picture, So this is a very special thing, and it's worth having a Sunday to remember this. Okay, so as you listen to the sermon, let's think about the fact that this world that we have is important, but it's not all there is. There's so much more, and it's such a gift when God lets us see a little bit past it. So thank you for coming, and thank you for listening. Okay, you can go back to your seats.
Our scripture this morning is from Mark 9, verses 2 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them.
Marcos 9, 2. 6 días después, Jesús se llevó aparte a Pedro, Jacobo y Juan. Los llevó a un monte alto y allí se transfiguró delante de ellos. Sus vestidos se volvieron resplandecientes y muy blancos, como la nieve. Nadie en este mundo que los lavara podría dejarlos tan blancos.
And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say, for they were terrified.
Y se les aparecieron Elías, Moisés, y hablaban con Jesús. Pedro le dijo entonces a Jesús, Maestro, qué bueno es para nosotros estar aquí. Vamos a hacer 3 cobertizos, uno para ti, otro para Moisés y otro para Elías. Y es que no sabía qué decir, pues todos estaban espantados.
Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus.
En eso vino una nube y les hizo sombra. Y desde la nube se oyó una voz que decía, Este es mi hijo amado. Escúchenlo. Miraron a su alrededor, pero no vieron a nadie. Solo Jesús estaba con ellos.
As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead.
Mientras bajaban del monte, Jesús les mandó que no dijeran a nadie nada de lo que habían visto hasta que el Hijo del Hombre hubiera resucitado de los muertos.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Palabra de Dios, gracias a Dios.
Pastor Carolyn will be giving our sermon this morning, so let's pray together before she begins. God, we lift up your servant Carolyn as she delivers the message to us this morning. Grant us listening ears and attentive minds so that we may share in the insights and experiences that Carolyn brings us through the study of your word. Help each one of us to understand and hold on to her words as we go about this day and this week. May the words of her mouth and the meditation of her heart be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Wanted to find a place where you could still see the flowers and you can see the transfiguration, and I'm not in your way, but you can also see me because you can't see me behind there. So the event in Jesus' life described in the gospel we just heard is so important that it features in all 3 of the synoptic gospels, the ones that tell the stories that in Luke and Matthew and Mark. And it's so important that in churches which follow a lectionary for daily worship as well as Sundays. The Transfiguration is observed twice a year, once on a Sunday and once on a weekday. And that's unusual, because usually for feasts or things that happen in Jesus' life, they're observed once a year. I mean, even the birth of Christ, we only have one Christmas day, right? So what's the big deal about Transfiguration? When you look up the meaning of the word, it's really easy to do that in online dictionaries, right? There's usually a reference to Latin this and Greek that, things about changing appearance or metamorphosis. And then there's probably a link to a sermon illustration about a caterpillar making a chrysalis and becoming a butterfly. But transformation and transfiguration are really two different things. Transformation is one thing becoming another thing. Transfiguration is when the appearance of something or someone has completely changed, but the essential nature of that person or that thing has not changed. Jesus doesn't take Peter, James, and John up a high mountain so they can watch him change into the Son of God. He's already the Son of God, fully human and fully divine, the incarnate Word. And up on that mountain, with cloud and voice and light, God's grace reveals the truth of Jesus' glory to his disciples. The stories of Jesus' transfiguration, some of the details in it, like the bright, dazzling light, they recall times in the Old Testament when human beings came into the presence of God, like Moses and Exodus. So do you remember that Moses had already been up Mount Sinai once and brought down tablets, and that the people sinned, they broke the covenant, and Moses was so ticked off that he broke the first set of tablets. And when the people and the Lord renewed their covenant, he had to go up the mountain again. And he stayed up there 40 days and 40 nights with the Lord. And when Moses came down with that second set of tablets, he didn't realize it, but the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. His face looked so different that Aaron and the Israelites were scared of him. Moses had to cover his face with a veil every time he went to talk to the people. And then he'd only take it off when he went back up to speak to God. In the book of Daniel, do you remember the three young men in the fiery furnace? In those burning flames, that furnace was seven times hotter than usual. It was so hot that the people, the officers who threw those poor guys in, burned up. But when Nebuchadnezzar looked in there, he saw a fourth man who looked like a son of God. And there are lots of other times in the Old Testament when fire and bright light indicate divinity. So Peter, James, and John probably had a pretty good idea of what it meant when they were faced with this dazzling light. This is the Holy of Holies. They're in the presence of God, and this person they thought they knew pretty well, his transfiguration reveals to them who Jesus is, who he always has been, and who he's always going to be. Transfiguration is also something that we can see near the beginning and near the end of human life. When a woman is pregnant, very early on, before any other signs of that new life are visible, sometimes you see a change in the tone of her skin. It may look a little gray or a little green or a little just different. There's a reality that we can't see anywhere else that is present on her face. But after a few more weeks, when she's in the second trimester, what do we say about pregnant women when we see how they look? Yeah, they're glowing. You know, her hair is glossy like it's never been. Her fingernails are growing long and strong. It's amazing. The presence of the divine is visible. Mothers shine. This week I was remembering several beloved men who are no longer with us here on earth. And the first was my father-in-law, Jack Hunt. Anthony's dad died a little over a year ago. And the last time we saw him was Thanksgiving 2016, a month before he died. And I remember looking into his face the day we arrived, and you could tell immediately looking at him, I thought, oh, this is not going to be long now. His skin was almost translucent. We took a lot of pictures of Jack, our kids call him Grand Jack, we took lots of pictures of him with extended family, and when you look at them now, you can see that cast of his skin and how it was different than the people who loved him that were around him. Not unlike the face of a newly pregnant woman fighting morning sickness. He was getting very close to that time when he was going to meet his maker. You know, and his body was changing. It was being transfigured. The second saint I recalled was Alan Kreider, whose cancer was diagnosed, or at least I found out about it the same day that Jack Hunt died. I know we're small in numbers today, so not all of you might have been here, but do you remember if you were here last April, the day that we had worship in the fellowship hall, we were going to do hymn singing together. And that was the last day that Alan felt well enough to come to church at Prairie Street. So we were getting ready to sing hymns together, and suddenly there was Alan, and he was seated in that circle, and it was really clear he had come to say goodbye to us, to this community. So we sang, and he spoke to us. He really gave us the most beautiful benediction. He spoke words of blessing over this congregation and promised he would keep praying for us. He was glowing. You remember what his face looked like that day? Alan's face was like Moses' face, but not scary. It was shining and reflecting the love of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit onto us. Alan was transfigured, revealing what he had been all along. A person made in the image of our God, who dwells in unapproachable light. And Alan dwelt so close to the heart of Christ that he reflected that light. Alan was coming near to the one who created him, and we could tell that very soon he would be one of those gazing upon the glory of God's face with nothing in between them, glorifying the Lord without ceasing. Just yesterday, we wept and we laughed in this place, remembering our brother Brent Esch. In the past few years, Brent's body, too, underwent a complete change in appearance. Brent was a well-rounded individual when our family met him 5 or 6 years ago. And when he was first very ill, And then he came back. I honestly didn't recognize him the first time I saw him in church. And then when I knew it was him, I was afraid of hugging him or grasping his hand too hard when we exchanged the peace because he might break. Brent was transfigured in multiple ways. His body changed shape, and his voice sounded different. His gait became measured in a new way, but he still wore the same hat and the same suspenders and the same smile. His body was beautiful. Have you seen the pictures that Brent and his family took together in December? I wish I had asked Heidi, because I would love to blow them up enormously on the screen for you, but some of them are in the program from yesterday's worship, and there's more of these that you can grab on the way out if you hadn't seen them, but they're so beautiful. Especially the one you had of the two of you together. You know, you're so close. And those pictures were taken just a few days before he died. Brent's body is clearly blessed and broken, yet whole and fruitful. Brent's body transfigured revealed he whom Brent followed, Jesus. So what about this body of Christ? And we'll have to imagine those that couldn't get here today with the snow or whatever. This body of Christ here at Prairie Street. We are moving from the season of Epiphany, a rejoicing time, into Lent, a time of introspection and preparation. We're approaching a time of pastoral transition after Easter. And we know there are going to be changes. And there will be grieving, but also hope. One of our tasks as a congregation will be to truly know ourselves. So this season, let us pray for Prairie Street and ask God to transfigure this body. May the cloud and the voice and the dazzling light reveal to us who we truly are. How are we blessed? How are we broken? How do we need God's mercy and forgiveness? How can we give those gifts to each other? And it'll probably be terrifying, and we might fall down. But it is good for us to be here. It's good for us to be here. May God be gracious to us and bless us. May God's face shine upon us. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Amen.
Let's turn in the blue hymnal to number 614. 614.